Good morning, Parkrest. It's good to be joining you again by the video, but I guess I have to address the elephant in the room, figuratively speaking, but that's that you had Nelson last week from Australia join you live. And so my excuse, my humble apology, is that he's in a different time zone. So they're a whopping half hour ahead of us in Melbourne, and I'm sure that's why he managed to get up to do it live. Yeah, it's good to be here. And, you know, kind of reflecting even on our passage today, Acts 21, you know, it reminds me of how much I actually miss being in person, with you guys. And we see this in this passage of how much just being with kind of in that physical presence with other Christians is so important. Our passage in Acts 21 opens with, after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed. And so just that image is that, you know, Paul was on his journey to Jerusalem, which we're going to look at today. But as he is spending time with the people he loved from Ephesus, you know, he had to keep going, but, you know, it says he tore himself away. And I can relate to Paul. You know, when I was reading this passage, actually, a lot of it resonated with just my own personal walk and my own personal journey with Jesus and how it's led me now to Australia. And I was reminded of that bittersweet Sunday, two and a half, coming up 3 years ago, November, I think it's 19th, 2018. And it was sweet because we did the baptisms. There's Javon and Allie, Bob and Jim, and just such a celebration of the work that God has done and continues to do at Parkrest. Of course, there's that bitterness of just, you know, we are leaving. At that time, it was kind of, yes, we didn't know when we'd be back again. And of course, we couldn't even imagine the COVID situation and what that has meant with closed borders. But, but also it was sweet because kind of the same way that Paul has said, and we're going to look at this, you know, he's saying in the Ephesian elders, he's been compelled by the Spirit, he's been moved by the Spirit. Because of that, he's made the decision to go to Jerusalem. You know, we're in the same boat. We knew that God was leading us down here to Australia. And so there's a sweetness when you're following, you know, God's leading in your life. And that's a bit what I want to look at this morning is how do we follow God's leading in our life? And what are some of the obstacles that we can face to it? And so I just want to read the passage again. Perhaps you've already read it, but I'll just read it again out of the NIV. Acts 21, verse 1 to 16. It says, after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed in Tyre where our ship was to unload its cargo. Finding the disciples there, we stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. All the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we'd been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit says, in the way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. After this, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Mason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. Let's just pray. Father, this is your word, and you've given it to us. I pray that we would learn from it, and from just the reading and thinking about it, Lord, that we would direct our lives after your will. And so speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here we have this kind of a recap, this journey to Jerusalem that Paul and his companions, which would have included Luke, who wrote this, did. And you know, Luke, as we know, he's recording the history of what happened, but I think that, you know, there's more than this. These are God's inspired words, and so there's lessons for us here. And so what we see is that as Paul goes on his journey to Jerusalem, he makes, first of all, a priority of meeting with people. He was on a mission. He was on a timeline. If we look back again in chapter 20, verse 16, it said Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. And so Paul was moving, he had a deadline, and yet he still made time and took the opportunity to spend it with people. People were his priority. People were Jesus' priority too. You know, if we looked at the life of Jesus, people need to be a priority in our lives. And so often it's easy with just the busyness of life, the hurry that we're in, to pass by people. But we see that Paul made sure he took the time to spend it with people. It says, you know, after tearing himself away, it says he went and sought out or found the disciples and would stay with them. And each place he went, he looked and found and stayed with other Christians. And, you know, I think us now probably, hopefully, I would say, appreciate and value a bit more just the, you know, how precious it is to actually be with other Christians. You know, and for Paul, he knew that this would be the last time he'd be seeing many of them. And so he made it a priority. So we see that Paul is on this journey, but we see something else happens. Pretty much everywhere he goes, the people warn him and try to actually discourage him from continuing on his journey to Jerusalem. And one of the things I want to look at is just the role of the Holy Spirit in leading Paul to Jerusalem, and think, what's the role of the Spirit in leading us in our lives? So as Paul goes, twice people, it says in verse 4, through the Spirit they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. And again in verse 12, when they heard through the prophet Agabus that, you know, Paul going to Jerusalem would actually result in his imprisonment and being handed over to the Gentiles, they says, we and the people there, verse 12, pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And yet Paul was not dissuaded. And so why is this? Why is it when obviously warned by the Spirit and through the Spirit of God speaking, people said, Paul, you shouldn't go. Was Paul disobeying? Or what's going on here? Well, I think actually, the Holy Spirit has been quite consistent with what he's been speaking to Paul. And so what was being spoken through the Christians, spoken through Agabus the prophet, in some ways wasn't actually new information to Paul. If we go back a couple of chapters, look in chapter 19, we're going to see how the Spirit had been moving Paul to go to Jerusalem, but also warning Paul of what was going to go on. And so going back, Acts 19 and verse 21, and actually many commentators actually put Acts 19:21 as a turning point in the book of Acts, kind of as a marker, as Luke has been recording the history, of what was going on in Jerusalem, and really kind of following that history of Acts 1:8 of being witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Acts 19:21 seems to be the place where now the gospel is going and on that trajectory to the ends of the earth, as Paul has already been bringing into Asia, but now all the way to Rome. So it says there in Acts 19:21, after all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I've been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. And so there's this clear marker that the journey that Paul is going to take is now kind of heading towards Rome, but it has this first point of Jerusalem. And so we hear Paul saying, I have decided to go to Jerusalem. Now, if that was all the information we have, we might say, well, hang on a sec, Paul decided to do something, but now through the Spirit, people are warning him not to go. So what, is Paul mistaken? Is he on the wrong course? Well, no, because we would have read last week in Acts 20, how Paul described his journey to the Ephesian elders. He said this in Acts 20:22. And he's speaking to them, he says, and now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And so, see here, this is where I say that in some ways there's no new information coming to Paul through the church in Tyre and through Agabus the prophet. Although, yes, they are saying you're going to be bound, Paul says, although I'm not sure what's going to happen, I do know that in every city, hardship and prison face me. And so you might ask the question, well, which was it? Did Paul decide to go, or of his own human will, or was it God's will? And what I would see in the way I read this is that although in our reading of Acts 19 then 20, we read that Paul decided and that the Spirit compelled. Really, I think that's just the nature of the people that Paul was talking to and the way that Luke writes it down. I think that it's that the Spirit was leading Paul and the Spirit was compelling Paul. And so when he was talking to those Ephesians elders, people who were spiritual in nature, it made sense that Paul would talk about, hey, spiritually, this is what's happening. And so we also see something about the nature of the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives as believers. You see, it was the Spirit compelling Paul to go, but Paul still had to decide to go. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit moves us. But it doesn't override us as Christians. And we still have a decision to make in our lives to say yes to God's will. Just the same way Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. That's what we as Christians need to pray. And we see that. So we see that both are true, that the Spirit was compelling Paul. The Spirit was saying, this is the direction you need to go. And yet Paul could equally say, I made the decision to go. It was a decision made based on the work and the moving of the Spirit, but we still have that responsibility. You know, it's the way often, this is often the way that the Holy Spirit is described as being in action in our lives. You know, even going back to Jesus and it says he was led by the Spirit to the wilderness in the Gospel of Luke 4. And we read that we are, as Christians in Galatians, they'll talk that we are led by the Spirit and we walk by the Spirit and we need to keep in step with the Spirit. And so we see again in Scripture that it's the Spirit who moves and leads us. And yet, as Christians, we still have a decision to make. Will we decide to be obedient and to follow the Spirit? You know, I think, just to wrap this up, even when I think of how we ended up moving down to Australia, it wasn't an overnight decision. It was something that we prayed about. And the more we prayed about, the more we felt God leading and prompting us to look into things. And as we did that, some opportunities and doors seemed to be opening. And so in one sense, we eventually, we made the decision to move to Australia. But in another sense, I would say that the Lord had unsettled us and had given us a heart to look into things here. And really, we're moved by the Spirit. And I know some of you might be thinking right now, well, let's start praying that the Spirit might move Steve back somewhere. But we'll see. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's not our moving, but His moving. And as Christians, we're called to walk with the Spirit, to keep in step in the Spirit. And so a question that we have to ask ourselves is, when we say I've decided to do something, when we make decisions in our lives, what role has the Holy Spirit played in those decisions? You know, this can be on big scales, as in, hey, I'm going to go to this city, Lord willing, or do this thing, Lord willing, or even the small things. But, you know, are we able to talk about the decisions that we make in our life? And they'll say, yeah, I decided to do this. And at the same time, equally and truthfully be able to say, you know, the Spirit or God was leading me or God was directing me in this way. And so here we see that Paul had both at play. And so as we come to our chapter 21, and we see these disciples there who says in the Spirit urging Paul not to go, what I believe is happening there is that the Spirit was equally revealing to them what would happen to Paul, that there are certain things that he would be in prison, that he is facing danger, walking into danger, and out of a love and concern for Paul and his safety, were urging him not to go. And so I don't read 21:4 as it being, oh, the Spirit changed his mind and said, do a U-turn, but rather well-meaning believers, as they received that same information as Paul, to be urging him not to go. And it comes clear in verses 10 to 14 when, you know, it's outright said that, you know, Paul, you're going to be bound up and handed over to the Gentiles. And it says, when we heard this, the people plead with Paul not to go because it was clear what was going to happen. And yet Paul's words are consistent. Paul's words here says, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am not ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. It's the same he said earlier in chapter 20, when he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And so we see that Paul, even though he knew suffering was coming, was willing to continue and be obedient. And for me, this is another big challenge. I think I was challenged on three things in our passage. The first of them being, are people a priority in my life, or am I just focused on completing the task or doing the program, writing the program? And we see that Paul was always had people as a priority in his life. So that's the first challenge I have. My second challenge from this passage is this, is am I allowing the Holy Spirit to actually be what moves and directs me? And are my decisions based on saying yes to what God is leading in my life, which sometimes and oftentimes actually is saying no to what maybe I wanted and what I thought was best? But the third challenge I have here is, am I willing and are we willing to suffer for the gospel, for the sake of Jesus? This is a hard question for us to ask, because the reality is, very rarely do we find ourselves in the position of when we make, you know, very rarely do we find ourselves, at least in the West, being required to suffer. It can be very easy to follow the life of, you know, to live our lives as Christians without having to encounter and come face to face with suffering, let alone doing things that aren't just saying, well, there's a risk we might suffer, but actually doing things that we know that will result in suffering. You know, I have to think if I knew the outcome of certain things that God asked me to do in my life, if I knew the sure outcome was that I was going to suffer, would I still follow through with them? I hope the answer is yes, but as I said, we live in a world and we live in a culture that just loves our security. We are so safe and secure, really. And I think it's been so evident even this past week in the news as we look at what's going on in the world, and especially Afghanistan. And it's such a stark contrast to the safety and security that we know and experience day in and day out towards the danger and the chaos that so many people face in this world. And as we look at Afghanistan, we know, and I've received, well, I guess secondhand to me, firsthand to some people I know, reports of Christians in Afghanistan. And the reality that they know is that to continue in their faith will likely mean a certain death. And it's a sober reminder to us of the cost of following Jesus for so many people in this world that we have, in this world. And so are we willing to risk for the gospel? You know, one of the things I find interesting here is how really there are well-meaning Christians who love the Lord and love Paul, who in essence were trying to dissuade Paul from following where the Spirit was leading him. And this was a challenge for me too. A bit of my work here, I'm working with young adults. And am I, you know, what I, out of what I would perceive as love and care for them, dissuading them from taking risks for following Jesus, taking risks for the sake of the gospel? Do I hold in value my personal safety or the personal safety and well-being and security of the people around me more than taking the gospel to those who haven't heard it? And this might not just be in terms of a physical risk or physical suffering. You know, one of the ways that we talk about security in our lives is social security, our status. You know, are we willing to risk a comfortable future for the sake of helping people today hear the gospel that will have an impact for eternity? And these are hard questions that I have to ask myself. You know, recently an acquaintance of mine, nothing more than that, you know, posted that her and her husband had been married 50 years and talked about how three times they'd sold all their earthly possessions to go and move somewhere for the sake of preaching and sharing the gospel there. So they've been involved in campus ministry, much like I was. And three times they sold everything they owned and moved overseas for the sake of the gospel. And I have to admit, one of the first things I thought was, I wonder if they're able to get back into the housing market. You know, and that's such a telling thing that that's something that I would think about when even considering obeying God's call to go somewhere. Now, this isn't to say there's anything wrong with making plans for the future and having a house and all that. But when they alter the course of our following God's leading in our life, that's when I think there's danger. And so here we have Paul, you know, who knew the cost. He'd been warned. He'd actually paid the cost before. Many times he'd been beaten in prison for the sake of the gospel. And yet here he goes to Jerusalem knowing full well of what is going to cost him. And yet for the sake of the Lord, of the name of the Lord Jesus, he is willing to do it. In fact, he seems his greatest concern was, breaking the hearts or breaking his heart. His greatest concern seemed to be the sadness of the people he loved. And so Paul faithfully went to Jerusalem. And it's such a challenge for me, and it should be a challenge for you to think of, are we willing to do things knowing that they'll cost us? Whether it's personal safety, whether it's a financial security, or whatever it might be, are we willing to do things that we know will cost us? Not just might cost, but we know will cost us. But knowing that if God has asked us, if the Spirit has led us, that's going to be worth it. Just like Paul knew it would be worth it to go to Jerusalem, no matter what the cost to him. And so Paul arrives in Jerusalem, and you'll see what happens next week. But again, the three lessons that I learned from this passage are, make people a priority. Even as we move through our programs, as we, are doing what we've been called to do, don't ignore people in our lives. People are precious. Make your decisions in life based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Paul was able to say just as equally, I decided to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because I was compelled by the Spirit. The Spirit won't override us. The Spirit will lead and direct and move, and yet we still have a responsibility to say yes to the work of the Spirit in our lives, whether that be in where we go or what we do, or even just in the small things, reaching out to someone, whatever it is. Allow the Spirit to say yes to the Spirit as he moves in our lives. And three, be willing to do it even if you know it's going to cost you something. In fact, Jesus promised following him does cost something. Paul knew that going to Jerusalem was going to cost him his freedom. And yet he went anyways. And is there something that God's asking you to do and you know it's going to cost you something? I encourage you to take from here to say, you know what? Just like Paul knew is worth it, it's worth it. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the example of Paul, and we just pray that we'd be faithful like him, listening to your Spirit, being led by your Spirit, and saying yes to your Spirit. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. And we just want to pray for the believers in Afghanistan, Lord, who today some, like Paul, are trying to escape in baskets through city walls, are literally fleeing for their lives. Others are remaining, and we pray that they'd be steadfast and strengthened by you. I pray that you'd help each one of them, each one of your people in Afghanistan know where would you lead them, whether it's to stay or to go. And give them boldness, Lord, and we just pray for their safety. And we've asked these things in Jesus' name. Amen.